Hello and welcome to the latest Golf Shake podcast. My name is Ryan Rastall, and welcome for those of you who haven't listened before. Where have you been? I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Matt Holbrook. Matt, how the heck are you?
Ryan, good evening and very good, thanks. Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little bit tired. It was an early start today. Played in a Pro-Am, which was nice. Nice to dust the clubs off. Not played for, 3 weeks. Yeah, so got out today, enjoyed it, it was good. But yeah, we'll get onto that in a bit. But yeah, I mean, we've been sort of inundated with golf, I suppose, in the last week. Last time I spoke to you, were up on the bonny banks of Loch Lomond. So tell us a bit more about that. Did you enjoy it? Because you were just about to go out and play the Carrick the following morning. Did you enjoy that?
What a golf course that is, by the way.
Enjoyed it, yeah?
Yes, very much enjoyed it. I've written about it already, so it should be live hopefully on Golf Shake in the next couple of days for anyone that's interested. But it's kind of separated into, it's separated into the front nine, back nine. But the way the course is laid out is the front nine is the lowlands, the back nine is the highlands. So you kind of get higher as you go on, and then yeah, some of the views and panoramic views as well, not just across the lock. And yeah, it's just fantastic, mate. Really, really good. Played all right as well.
Good. Yeah. Definitely, of course, you want to play again. I mean, it looked like I saw some of the pictures, and it looked like you got quite a nice day for it as well, which definitely helps in that neck of the woods. Because, I mean, I've been lucky enough to play. I've never played the Carrick, actually. I've been there a couple of times, stayed there, but not played it. But played Loch Lomond twice and been lucky enough that both times it's been glorious weather, but I can imagine it gets pretty bleak and horrible there at times as well.
So if it's, cold, wet and windy, it's, I can imagine it could be quite a tough day. I was going to say miserable, but I don't think that does it justice. I think any golf course can be miserable if it's cold, wet and windy.
Yeah, it can. I mean, but, the vista there looking out into the lock and, what you can see, the other side, the lock and the kind of, basically just the landscape, I suppose, is just beautiful, isn't it? And
yeah.
Were you lucky enough to see any deer and stuff running around or not?
No, some ducks.
Some ducks, okay.
That was it, mate. Yeah, that was it. I must say? The only birdie was not from me. Our esteemed leader, Darren, was the only one to make a birdie.
Was he?
He made a birdie on a par five. I did assist him with the read of the putt, but I was pleased for him when it went in, and we captured it on video. He's got the video, not me.
So you're claiming an assist, are you?
I'm claiming an assist, yeah. Okay, absolutely.
I nearly did that today, nearly had a birdieless round of golf, but luckily birdied the 18th hole, so it kind of made up for 17 holes of very, very average stuff before that. But have you played as well over the weekend? Have you played in any tournament competitions?
I played Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
I did all right, actually. I went out quite early Friday morning, shot 5 over. Saturday we had our captain's day. It's a captain Stableford, and the score is worse than what the golf would suggest. I'd shot 77, which is 8 over for me, but I did have a 6 on a par 3 where basically I didn't hit the greatest tee shot and the ball just rolled into the bunker, so it was kind of up against the lip, but like the lip was behind the ball.
I know.
So then you're having to almost, kind of chop down onto it, and it wasn't a very successful attempt, and basically finned the ball over the back of the green. Got a really crap lie. So then I was chipping down a bit of a bank that sits at the bank at the back of this green, and the pin was at the back, so it was kind of like the worst place to leave yourself after the bunker shot. And so I chipped down, the ball rolled down, and yeah, just didn't get the first putt anywhere near the hole. So, but other than that, it was it's okay. But I did finish with 3 bogeys. That seems to be a bit of a theme with me at the moment, because I then shot, did it again yesterday, didn't I? I was 2 under through 3.
Okay, good start.
And then just made a couple of bogeys, and then blobbed one, holy eighth. I mean, look, it was windy yesterday down here. I don't know what it was like for you being up there, but it was tough yesterday. But
to be honest, it was nice today. So I played very early this morning. So we were out at 7:50 this morning. And yeah, hardly any wind, really. It was good. And it rained overnight, so the course was fairly soft in terms of the greens. You could hit them in there and they'd stop fairly quickly. Yeah, I mean, it was perfect scoring conditions, really, but not for me. So, yeah, I mean, it's a two-round pro-am I've been playing in. So the first round today was at Fulford Golf Club that many of you who've been golf fans for a long time will remember used to hold the Benson and Hedges tournament up there in the kind of late 80s, I want to say. It's a bit before my time, really. But some of the iconic pictures there, you know, the most famous one of Bernard Langer playing out of the tree on the 17th hole there at Fulford, which is they've got that a massive, like, blown up version of that in their locker room, which looks absolutely awesome. Bernard Langer looks about 12 years old up in the tree chipping out. But yeah, it's a course that obviously has held what was then European Tour events and had some of the best players in the world coming across. And at that time, you know, Faldo has won the event there. Peter Baker actually beat Faldo in a playoff there, I believe, as well. So yeah, I mean, it's had some great winners and some great players there over the years. And the golf course is lovely. For those of you who've never played Fulford, I'd recommend you go. It's just not far from York Racecourse, really, when you just go up the A64 and come off there. But it's have you ever played there at all, Matt? No.
No, I haven't, actually. It's not somewhere I've played too much golf, that part of the world, to be honest.
It's lovely. It really is. I'd say it's up there with my favourite courses in Yorkshire. I'd say it's definitely top three courses in Yorkshire for me, anyway. But yeah, it's stunning. Really, really good. It was in lovely condition today as well. And like I say, I'd perfect conditions to play it and three good guys to play with as well. So it was good. Unfortunately, my golf didn't match yet. I shot six over, which wasn't particularly good. And certainly it was out there to be scored. Do you know what I mean? It was there for the taking. Unfortunately, I was just a bit rusty. But
yeah, that's what happens if you haven't played for 3 weeks, though. Yeah,
do you know what? I hit it all right. I hit it better than I was expecting to. I just didn't score well, if that makes sense. I just missed a couple of putts, which I'd expect to hole, and didn't get up and down a couple of times and just hit. Yeah, but other than, I was fairly happy with how I hit it overall, really. But yeah, just wasn't my day. But yeah, the 18th sort of made up for it. Par 5, 18th at Fulford, for those of you who played it. Downwind a little bit, but hit a really good tee shot down there and hit pitching wedge to about 15 feet and two-putted it for a four. So it was quite good. So yeah, it was a decent tee shot for once. It went quite a long way, really. But yeah, it was good. But yeah, that was a nice way to finish, but it kind of papered over the cracks of the 17 holes that preceded it, unfortunately. But yeah, tomorrow's another day. Like I said, it's a two-day pro-am. So tomorrow I'm playing at Ganton Golf Club, which many of you will have heard of. Many of you may not have played it. Some of you no doubt have. Matt, have you played up there? No? On the way to sort of Filey there, North Yorkshire kind of area. But it is stunning. It really is a very, very good golf course. Probably top two in Yorkshire, I would have said. There and all.
What's number one?
There and all Woodley for me, really. Okay. Probably the best two. Yeah. Fulford, do you know what? Fulford for me kind of gets in the conversation with those three are my favourite, I would say. Yeah. But yeah, the round at Ganton tomorrow will be great. We're off early again, so it's it's probably an hour and a half drive for me, and we're teeing off at 7:50 again, so it's going to be a very early start. Yeah, to get there. But yeah, I mean, it's a great golf course, one that's held countless sort of amateur tournaments over the years and some decent events, and is always a test, really. Yeah, with it being closer to the coast, it does tend to get a bit windy.
What was the winning score? What's leading at the moment?
Oh, well, I mean, a lad called Alex Belt that some of you may have heard of, very, very good sort of regional player, has played, you know, at some European Tour events as well. He shot 64 today round Fulford, which is stunning. But, it 64 is an amazing score, but it was out there, if you know what I mean. It was very scorable. But I was just rubbish, unfortunately. So, he was awesome. So, yeah.
So you've got to shoot, what, 12, 13 under tomorrow?
Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'd take level par and snap your hand off tomorrow because it's just sort of
You'll be better tomorrow. You will. You'll be better tomorrow because you played today.
I'm sure I will. And then I'm actually playing again on Friday as well. So I've got three Pro-Am rounds this week, which is just unheard of for me. And then Wednesday, I'm going to see all the new Puma stuff for next year, actually. So I'm going to meet my rep, Sean, over in Manchester and have a bit of a look at that and buy all the gear for the shop for 2024. Can you believe we're doing that already? But yeah, we are.
I bet that's sick, all that stuff.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I'll take some pictures and send them to you. Obviously, you're not allowed to share them with anyone, but no. Yeah, you can have a bit of a look. But yeah, it's a packed week, really. It's obviously summer holidays as well. So Thursday's normally my day that we film a few videos. But Tom, our cameraman, has just got married. The idiot. He's just been over to Italy and got married over there. And it looked amazing. So congratulations, Tom and Megan. So well done, guys. Goldshake family. He will be back, I think, next week. So we'll be doing a bit of filming on the Thursday again. But yeah, with it being summer holidays, I've got my little girl on a Thursday now for the next 6 weeks, which will be awesome. So she may pop up in a few of the YouTube videos that we do, potentially.
I've had that today. I've been at home with a little one today.
Very, very good.
Just honestly, if anyone knows how to take the batteries out of a 4-year-old, let me know.
Very difficult. Have you got any golf lined up this week as well?
Yes. So because I just played 3 days in a row, I decided to have a rest today. But I have just literally, as I'm talking, because I can multitask, I've actually just booked in 6:40 tomorrow morning.
Wow.
So I can get a game in before work. And then I'm doing very similar on Friday morning. We have a midweek Stableford, and I know what people are thinking. Oh my God, how can you have a midweek Stableford on a Friday? That's not midweek. No. That's just what we do. They mix up the dates. Basically, it's a Stableford or a medal that isn't a weekend for anyone scratching their heads. But they mix up the days, you know, because you can't do them on a Wednesday every week. So it gives people a chance. So yeah, so I'm going to go and play on that early Friday morning. And then that's it for this week, to be honest. I've got no golf Saturday, Sunday, because we've got the weekend with the kids. But it's actually Friday morning is a good opportunity for Matt Lockwood, who is still yet to qualify for.
You know what? I was going to mention that later on, but I'm glad you pulled that up. So our weekly check-in, the Matt Lockwood watch as to whether he's qualified for the Pinder Trophy. I'm guessing, by the way, that you've just introduced it, that he hasn't yet. So
no. No,
I've seen some of the text exchanges between the two of you as well, and I think it's safe to say it's getting to him a bit, Matt, isn't it?
I think the pressure's on. I think he knows the pressure's on.
He knows every single time he laces up his golf shoes that he's under pressure, because we are watching, Matthew.
Yeah,
we're watching.
I'll be honest. The funny thing now is that there's a few of the boys that I play golf with. They also obviously they listen to the podcast, and they're sending me messages now on a weekly basis, or they're asking me about it every week.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah, is this a thing? But I said to Matt, I promised him when he qualifies, he can come on the podcast. We can ask him if he's qualified, and he can be the one to break the news to everyone.
Love it.
If he qualifies,
love it. Right, that's enough about our golf, okay? We've had a lot going on in the world of golf in the last even 7 days, right? So we've been treated to some amazing golf in various different tournaments that are going on. But I want to start with a bit of a kind of focus on the ladies' game at the moment, right? So we spoke last week about the Evian, okay? It's a championship that, you know, it's got its home now at the Evian Resort. It's one that I've watched probably more seriously for the last probably 3 or 4 years, really. And just because I love the golf course, and it's a great test for all the ladies around there. I don't know if you watch or have watched much of it from around there, Matt, but some of the greens have fairly big kind of, you know, undulations in them, and the ball can sort of be taken away 30 yards away from the flag after what seemed like a pretty good shot hit in there. But it's a more of a parklandy kind of layout, but the greens are almost quite linksy in the way that they've got loads of little swales and stuff in them, and they just kind of feed the ball away. I don't know, did you watch much of this over the last few days or not really?
I watched a bit, I'll be honest. I didn't see much of it over the weekend, but what I did see over the 4 days was the one hole that stuck out to me was the 16th hole. I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday, but they had the pin in the middle, and this just looked like a treacherous par three where it was like a thin, narrow green.
Yeah.
It just, you know, like 130 yards. Very rarely do we sit and talk about like long par threes being like super challenging. It's always the short ones. It was brilliant to watch. So I was glued to that. But I'll be honest, I didn't watch too much of it over the weekend. I caught the winning moment, and I watched the final few holes. I was flicking between that and the Senior Open.
I watched loads of it, if I'm honest. It was great, and mainly because I had interest in it from not only a betting perspective, which we'll come on to in a minute, but I was lucky enough last year to be invited to the Women's Scottish Open up at Dundonald and got to follow Celine Boutier around for a round of golf and literally walked all 18 holes, watched every shot that she hit. And honestly, she is one of the most impressive players I've ever seen, men or women. Yeah, she hits it unbelievably well. Her short game is fantastic. She puts great. And, you know, she's now gone to number four in the world with this win. And you could see that when I saw her last year. I mean, she just, her game's amazing. She wasn't hitting it, wasn't scoring her best last year, but still was up there in the Women's Scottish. She was right up there on the leaderboard at one stage. I think she's still top five, maybe top 10 last year at Dundonald. But and to be honest, she was kind of didn't have her A game. Do you know what I mean? So you could sort of tell that she was going to break through and play well. I mean, she's obviously played Solheim Cup before, and she's a shoo-in for the team now. I think she's probably already on it. But what a performance. She literally led from start to finish. And we spoke on the podcast last week. It was her and Charlie Hull I actually put money on, and unbeknownst to me, Charlie had a bit of a virus and didn't play particularly well, bless her. So hopefully she's better, particularly with the Women's Scottish and the Women's Open coming up in the next 2 weeks. But Celine, literally, like I say, from wire to wire, just looked like no one was ever going to catch her, and ended up, did she win by six in the end?
I think it was six, yeah. I think it was six. And actually, do you know what? She's got an impressive impressive resume as well, right? She's got 12 professional wins to her name. She's only 29, to be fair. The age that they tend to come through in the ladies' game seems to be a lot younger than the men's, I think, for some reason.
Yeah.
But it was her first major victory, but she's top 10 in all the other four majors that the ladies compete in. Other four, because there's five in total.
Yeah.
And even before that, so pedigree, I know she won the British Amateurs, didn't she, back in 2015.
Indeed.
So obviously just a strong, really good, strong all round player.
The thing that stood out for me, not only a short game, but she was hitting hybrids, and some of the shots she hit with hybrids around Dundonald were just immense. She was hitting hybrids way closer than I could hit a sand wedge.
Yeah.
Literally awesome.
But this is, I find this is, a lot of people say sometimes, you could learn a lot from watching women's golf. You can, you should watch what the, tempo and that sort of thing. And I actually think it doesn't do them a little bit of a disservice. Because I think they're obviously, just outstandingly skilled particular with their long game. Like you say, you won't see players hitting, like you said, hybrids and woods, as close as what they do. And it is impressive to watch. It makes you want to go out and practice with your hybrid, doesn't it? When you watch,
definitely. I mean, I've never been very good with those sorts of clubs, and I've always been more of a long iron sort of player, really. But yeah, I mean, they just make everything look so easy, and that's the bit. Yeah, like you're saying about tempo, just everything is timed to perfection. They just get as much out of the golf swing as they possibly can. It's very different to the men's game, where they just stand there and club it and just smash it as far as they can, and gouge it on the green and put With some exceptions, obviously Mr. Harmon we spoke about in length last week, but the majority of the men's game now is going that way. And there just seems like there's a bit more finesse in the ladies' game, do you know what I mean? It's just so much better to watch for that, I think, as a sort of spectacle, and watching the sort of shots that they hit is just, yeah, very, very good, really good. And like I say, we've got a three-week period now where we've got a massive event in women's Scottish Open at Dundonald, and then the week after we've got the AIG Women's Open down at Walton Heath. Is Walton Heath, of course, you've played before. I very seldom venture far south of here, really, but Walton Heath is definitely on my list.
Yeah, so Walton Heath is one. Actually, I went, I want to say last year, year before, and did a spent the day down there. Actually, played both courses and did a feature for those guys on Golf Shank.
Okay.
So let me say, Walton Heath is an absolute outstanding venue, and I know many people will also know of Walton Heath from the British Masters.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I've been to Walton Heath a few times because I would go down. I haven't been for a few years, but go and watch US Open qualifying there.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah.
And I think historically that used to be on the Monday after the BMW at Wentworth.
Yeah.
Because then a lot of the guys would go straight from Wentworth, you're in that part of the world, over to Walton Heath and do the old 36 hole in a day over the new and the old course. I mean, I can be super critical and say what really impresses me about a venue that's got two courses is when they're both as good as each other, but they're almost completely different.
Yeah.
So you go somewhere like Woodall Spa, for example. You know, those two are great golf courses, but they are almost like polar opposites of each other.
Yeah, they are.
You know, at Walton Heath, they all kind of blend into one. Which is great for them when they're hosting such events like this, because sometimes you'll find that they won't traditionally play the same routing as what you would if you was to go as a visitor. They might do a bit of a hybrid of the two. They might change the layout completely. So that's obviously a good thing. But it's also a good course to go and watch. So if you haven't got tickets, you want to get tickets, you can get. You're thinking about going down there. I promise you, you'll have a really, really good day out.
Well, I mean, it looks phenomenal, but like I say, that sort of part of the world's just not one I've really been down to that much. I mean, yeah, I just don't tend to. I don't know why. I mean, I guess you're a bit more down there, aren't you? So,
well, I mean, but where I'm based on the east, you know, getting to Walton Heath, I'm not going to lie, is it's not the easiest. It's because you've got to go around the M25, and anybody that travels or does any kind of driving would know that you try to avoid the M25 like the plague. Yes,
indeed. Yeah.
But if you get up early enough and you're prepared to, you know, hit the road early doors, you can get round there and you can avoid as much of it as you possibly can. And yeah, I promise you, it is a really, really good day out. Really good day out.
Very good. I mean, we'll probably cover more about the Women's Open next week, but let's look ahead to this week where we've got the 3D Group Women's Scottish Open at Dundonald. Of course, we both know very well. A tournament that was great last year. And it was Ayaka Faroo that won around there, 21 under par, shooting 10 under in the final round, which is just phenomenal. Obviously, it's going to be a packed field as well. It's an event that a lot of the players use as a bit of a warm-up for the Women's Open. And one that you would expect a lot of the top players to attend and play at. Have you kind of looked at the field? Have you got any kind of early picks that you think might do well there?
I don't, but whenever Lynx comes around, there's just something about Georgia Hall that I always like. I think she's always going to have a bit of a home advantage. Like, I know she's not Scottish, she's in Scotland, but but no, I mean, look, just on that golf course, right? As you say, it is one that we. That we both know pretty well. And again, it's nice to, hopefully there's going to be enough coverage for us where we can, you know, kind of compare what we know to that course and how the girls attack it this week.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Because that does make it, you know, for me, I don't know about you, but I feel like for me it adds just that little bit of extra something to a tournament where you're watching it and you know the course pretty well.
It does. I mean, and particularly having played it tons of times, yeah, you've probably hit it in some fairly unsavoury places on some of the holes, so you kind of know it very well. I mean, not that any of the ladies will be hitting it, some of the rubbish I hit it in around there, but yeah, I mean, the likes of Charlie Hull, Attia Titical, and Leona Maguire, players like that are going to be playing there, as well as obviously Celine's going to go after winning a major this week. And, you know, who knows, she may win again. Absolutely.
She finished second last year.
Was it second? Yeah, I knew she did really well. I can't remember where exactly it was. But yeah, that final round from Farouk was just unbelievable and kind of came from nowhere really last year, which, yeah, absolutely amazing finish. But yeah, I mean, there's obviously lots and lots of very, very good players in the field. And yeah, I'm sure they're in for yet another, you know, fantastic event there, really. But yeah,
I think so.
This 3 week period is just massive. This is probably the best 3 weeks in the ladies' calendar, I would say personally, because I just love watching Lynx golf. And now when you've got the women's Scottish and then the AIG Women's Open 2 weeks in a row, you're gonna get, well, not Walton Heath, more Heathlandy, I suppose, but it's quite similar in the way that you kind of, there'll be greens where you have to run it into and all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit different to the Lynx test that you get at Dundonald, but yeah, the similar kind of golf shots are going to be required really to play both. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it and I can't wait to see it. But on that Lynx golf theme, then we were also treated on the Legends Tour, the seniors, to an amazing golf tournament in Wales this week, weren't we? Down at Royal Porthcawl, where we saw a playoff in the end between Padraig Harrington and Alex Checker. I know from speaking to you before we started recording that this is something that you've watched a lot of.
I did. I watched a lot. I watched a lot, especially over the weekend. To be fair, I think because I played yesterday morning and then the weather down here turned a bit yesterday afternoon, and I'm not going to lie, I sat on the sofa and I pretty much watched the entire final round. It's a golf course that I love. It's a golf course that I've been lucky enough to play once. I had it in very similar conditions to those guys. I didn't have as much wind, but I definitely had more rain. It's a proper test of golf. I think the layout is fantastic. I would go as far as saying that it's probably a course that's got the best set of par threes I think I've ever played.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, look, it makes for good viewing, right? When we're watching these guys, not struggle. I don't like using the term struggle because I don't want to see anyone struggle. But it was hard. It was a battle, and it was. It just made for really good viewing. It did make for really good viewing. I'm not going to lie, I was gutted for Harrington, especially losing in the way that he did with that fluff chip on the second par hole. But yeah, what a great event. And you know, it's good to see the guys of yesteryear out there, and you know, obviously they've still got the hunger and the passion, because otherwise they just wouldn't be out there doing it in them sort of conditions.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it was just brutal, wasn't it? I mean, I watched bits. I didn't watch a lot. I watched the final round. I watched quite a bit, but the first couple of days, I was watching Miguel, and he looked like he was playing absolutely amazing. And then third round, he shot 12 over par and just literally just dropped like a stone down the leaderboard. I saw, did Monty shot something like 17 over in the final round as well?
Yeah, yesterday.
Absolutely crazy. But yeah, it just shows that how tough these types of courses can play when the weather is a bit testy. Do you know what I mean? It's obviously wet. It was windy. It was difficult. And personally, we talked about this as well before we started recording the podcast. Obviously, on the 24 under one on the PGA Tour this last week, right? That for me just doesn't interest me anywhere near as much as watching these guys grind out five over par round an unbelievably good golf course that's really tough and in really brutal conditions. Do you know what I mean? That is golf for me, and that's what I want to watch more of.
Yeah, I agree. I think I do see a lot of conversation on social media about, you know, what you prefer. You know, like, sometimes I feel like the argument is either 20 under or 5 over. You know, like, I don't mind like a 6, 7, 8 under over 4 days as like a, you know, pretty happy medium in the middle. But yeah, look, I mean, look, watching these guys hitting their tee, I think I saw one tee shot, it went like 184 yards or something. It's,
yeah, I mean, that for me is just the purest form of golf, really, where it's just battering it down. It's horrible. No one wants to be out there, but they still get out and grind a score out. I mean, I'm not taking any away. Obviously, Lee Hodges won the 3M Open this week on PGA Tour. Unbelievable score, 24 under. I think he won by like 7, which from Martin Laird, which was really good. But, you know, he's obviously played great golf to do that. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but all I'm saying is I want to watch these guys struggle. I don't want to watch a birdie fest. I don't want to watch people just bomb it on wide open golf courses and it be almost a putting competition. I want to see these guys struggle and get frustrated and chuck clubs and do everything that we do when we don't play very well. I just think, perversely, just want to watch that sort of golf because it just kind of is a bit more true to life, I suppose. Absolutely love it. And you know, we're going to get on to in a minute talking about a bit more about links golf. You know, having seen the Open Championship last week, and then obviously the seniors, we're about to watch the women's Scottish. So it's a very linksy. It's almost like the grass court season in tennis, isn't it? We're just watching links golf for a little bit of a period of time played on the various different tours, but. But yeah, I just think links golf for me is just edges it over the other types of golf courses. I don't know how you feel.
I would agree. For me, I think I think it's probably just where I'm based that we have some stunning heathland courses in the east of England. Where I'm based in Suffolk, right, we've only got one proper links course, and I do head there quite a lot in Felixstowe. It's a close one. It's a close one for me. Links probably just pips it. Nothing beats playing golf by the sea, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love it.
And you know, as we're sitting in the chat, and I'm just looking, I kind of think about my top 5, 10 courses that I've played anywhere in the world, and actually, without thinking about it, you start all you end up listing is links courses.
Yeah.
Turnberry, St Andrews, St Enadoc, Prestwick, Western Gales, you know, that's probably my top 5. And they're, you know, you'd bung them all in a links category. It's probably the, as you say, purest form. It's the form that's probably most exposed to elements. It's, I just think it can give you so much, can't it, on any given day. I love links. It's no better place.
No, so I mean, let's talk about this then. So, what we were going to come on to as a bit of a topic, I suppose, is links courses that we kind of think that everyone should play at least once. It kind of, you know, the bucket list, play one before you die kind of golf course. And we'll talk about a few and probably come down to maybe one or two that we can agree on, right? So, I've got a bit of a list that I've written here, some of which I've never played, which I desperately want to, and that's why they're kind of on my list, but also ones that I have played and just almost want people to experience them as well, because they're just so good. So, I'm not going to read them all out here because I've got about 25 golf courses written down, but I would say of the ones I've played, links golf-wise, I mean, it's hard to look away from open venues, really, because one of the reasons why they choose them is because they're so good. But, I mean, probably the best experience I've ever had of links golf is playing Hoylake, like a couple of days after Rory won the Open there with all the stands up and stuff. That was amazing. But is Hoylake the best links course I've ever played? No, it's not. But that was the experience that I had. And the course is great. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely amazing. But, I mean, there's just so many great links courses. You know, your Royal Lithums of this world and Troon, which I've been lucky enough to play quite a few times, Royal Troon up in Ayrshire. Yeah, I mean, Carnoustie is another one, obviously an open venue, amazing golf course, very, very tough. But, I mean, outside of the open ones, Matt, which ones have you really enjoyed playing yourself?
So this is a tough one for me, right? Because it would be very easy for me to kind of pigeonhole everything into Scotland, right? Because I think I've had my most memorable experiences on some of my most favourite golf courses whilst playing golf in Scotland. You know, and like you, I can give, I could sit and list the best courses, but actually what I want to say to people that are listening is I want to say, do you know what, there's so much more to Lynx Golf than, you know, Turnberry's, Hoylake's, Carnoustie's, ones that might be tricky to get on, for example, or, you know, let's be honest, might be out of some people's price range. You haven't got to go far to find somewhere like up in Scotland, like Ely or Crail, for example, which are, you know, really quirky, old school golf courses that have been around, that have got so much history, that just maybe slightly off the beaten track a little bit, that are just going to give you the most enjoyable experience. But then, what I would say is there's one that sticks out for me, which is very, very popular with people going on stay and play trips, and it's actually one that's, you know, as far south in the country as you can maybe get, and that's down in Prince's.
Yeah.
So Prince's is a venue that's got 27 holes, and the accommodation on site is some of the best that you'll come across in terms of what you might be looking for a golf break.
Yeah, I mean, I had those on. I've never been down there. So obviously, you've got Prince's, you've got Royal St. George's, Royal St. Port's all in a row down there. Yeah. And that is definitely on the bucket list for me as a golf trip to go play all three of those. And do it all in a short space of time. Just obviously, St. George's is the one that you know from watching the Open, but. From what I'm led to believe, Prince's and St. Port's are, you know, every bit as good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. I've not played St. Port's or Royal St. George's. But Prince's, I can vouch for. I mean, it's been a good few years since I've been back, and I know that they've done some changes to the course that's made it even better, for example. But so that would be my first. If I'm going to give you three to pick from that, I want to try and, I know lots of people would have heard of Prince's. I want to try and give you some that are, you know, maybe just under that kind of top bracket, for example.
Okay.
The second one I want to shout out features quite heavily on some of the Golf Shake kind of top 100 under 50 quid courses. And that's Silophon Solway.
Okay. Yep.
Up in the northwest.
Cumbria.
Yeah, exactly. Another really, really, you know, spectacular golf course that's, I know it's been put on the map a little bit more recently. I think it's starting to get a little bit more popular. It's featured, I think Rick Shields has been and done one of his videos there. So that always helps a golf course raise its profile.
Yeah.
And then another one. So having played a fair bit down in the southwest, you know, you've got top draw places like St. Enadoc, Trevose, West Cornwall.
Cornwall area. I've never been to Cornwall in my life.
And
that sort of area. To be honest, I don't think I've ever been to like Essex down that way either. So obviously down towards where you'd get towards obviously Sandwich and places like that. But yeah, I mean, the South is definitely an undiscovered territory for me, really.
Yeah.
Links golf courses, but it's definitely one.
There is one there, and actually I just picked it up one afternoon. It was quite nice, and I'd played, I can't remember which way around I'd done. I can't remember if I played St. Enadoc in the morning or Trevose. No, it was St. Enadoc. So I played St. Enadoc. It was a lovely afternoon, and I just done a quick Google to find some other local courses, and I stumbled across a place called Perranporth.
Yep.
Which is, again, it's quite old school. There's a fair few blind tee shots. It's a one of these kind of hilly links, but it's more cliff top because as you go around, you just get this absolutely stunning vista of the bay, Perranporth Bay.
Yeah.
And it's just, for me, I don't know if I timed it right, but I timed it as the sun was going down. The tide was out, so you had this kind of wet, glistening sand for, a long way, and the town, it just, everything. In fact, if you follow me on Twitter, or X as it's called X, now, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you go onto my profile and look at the background photo on my profile, that is Perranporth. Okay. And that's what that's all for. And funnily enough, I will mention him again, but Matt Lockwood of Pinder fame is actually down there as we speak on a family holiday, and I know that he's going to play
Perranporth on Wednesday. Is at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. He's down there, and I'm jealous that he's getting to go down and play, and I hope that he gets a nice day.
Well, I think we need to have a word with Darren and get some sort of golf-shaped trip sorted out down there. So either...
Yeah. He won't go, it's too far. Darren,
I'm not picky, so we either go to Cornwall and play all these places, or we go down and play Royal St. George's, Cinque-Ports and Prince's, all right?
It's yeah.
Don't mind which one, just tell me when. We'll go.
Just say when and where.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, obviously, we've just spoken about the Seniors Open in Wales, right? So we've got obviously Royal Porthcawl, but Harlech is one of the best links courses in the UK, definitely. Royal St. David's Golf Club, for those of you that haven't played it, get across there and play it. Amazing, amazing golf course. Very, very good. You've got Conwy as well, right up at North Wales. Sort of almost, you could have probably just about seen it on a clear day from Hoylake, actually, last week, all the way across there into North Wales as you look across. But
I really want to go there, Conwy.
Yeah, it's lovely. It really is good. So, I mean, the finishing sort of three or four finishing holes there are just so difficult. Just really, really tight tee shots. And yeah, you've kind of really got to be on your mettle there. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to look past Scotland. I know you've said that you kind of, yeah, there's other golf courses, and there are. I mean, North Berwick is one, never played it, but looks amazing. All the players seem to play it when they're up there for the Scottish Open at Renaissance. They go and play North Berwick because it's renowned as one of the best links around, and it's definitely up there on my list. The closest I've got is, I think we actually did a video where we had a bit of a putting competition on the putting green outside of North Berwick Golf Club. There was me, Kieran, Darren, and I think it was Kev, actually. It was almost like the Himalayas putting green. But yeah, that's the closest we've ever been to North Berwick. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned Turnberry. For me, that is the best I've played in terms of links. I don't think it gets much better than that. Carnoustie, I've got like a place in my heart for Carnoustie purely because my dad played. The only Open my dad's qualified for and played in was at Carnoustie in the 70s when Tom Watson won there. So I've got kind of a bit of an affinity for that place. King's Barnes I've played. Dunbarney's obviously quite a new golf course. Troon, Hoylake.
Dunbarney's lovely, by the way.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, very. It's not as traditional linksy, I wouldn't say, but it's still a very, very good golf course.
And, yeah.
For those of you,
do you know what I loved about Dunbarney, right? Is that I felt as you stood on a tee box, you could see the hole you was playing, but you could barely see any other part of the golf course.
Yeah.
And then you finish that hole, you get onto the next tee box, and the same thing happens. And then the same thing happens.
Yeah.
And I think there's only once or twice where you kind of stood on a tee and you could see like a green or
feel like you're the only person there, and it is quite a special sort of, yeah. And some golf courses, I mean, going on to another one, which I've never played it, but I assume is very much like that just because I've heard it is Royal County Down as well. So one where it's obviously there's lots of dunes and you kind of, each hole is kind of framed very nicely by them and you don't really see that many other people on the golf course at a time. And yeah, that is obviously one that, was very, very good. And the same token, Portrush would be another one I'd love to go play on the Dunluce at Royal Portrush and enjoy that. So yeah, that's another trip for you, Darren, to sort out into Ireland. But yeah, I mean, Birkdale's obviously one that played a lot, which is very, very good. Muirfield, never played it, but everyone that I speak to who's played lots of the open courses kind of rates it as their favourite. But I think it all comes down to
you know,
what you like in a golf course, doesn't it? What area of the country are you willing to travel to? Because some of these places are an absolute trek, aren't they? I mean, for you to get to Scotland is going to take you a long time, isn't it? Cornwall is a pain in the ass for anyone to get to, no matter where you live in Britain. But probably the most difficult to get to is the one I'm about to mention now, which is the Makri. I don't know if you've ever heard of this place before.
I've heard of it.
But it's on the island of Islay, which is kind of, I suppose, west, off the west coast of Scotland, right? So there's two ways you can get there. One, on a ferry, which you drive up to like the north of Ayrshire somewhere and get a ferry that takes you about 2 hours to get there. Or you get a flight from Glasgow, okay, which is about 40 minutes, I think. But Islay is famous for whiskey. So there's a few distilleries, I think, on the, particularly the Boon Harbin one, which is on Islay. But the Makri is a stunning golf course there. So it's ranked 16th best golf resort in the UK and the 75th best golf course in the world. So it is one that is difficult to get to, but by all accounts, well worth the trip. So I'm hoping, because we have a mutual friend who's just about to start working there, that potentially we may get a trip to the Makri. And yeah, for those of you that haven't looked, Google it. It's the Makri, which is M-A-C-H-R-I-E. Go and have a look because it looks awesome. But yeah, Matt, this is another trip we need to go on.
Yeah, but sounds good.
All these links courses aside, right, I think it all comes down to one, and that is, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? The old course at St Andrews, okay?
Yes.
Is it the best links course you've ever played? Absolutely not.
Nope, but I'm agreeing with you.
It is magic
in every sense
of the world. At word. It, as soon as you set foot into the town, as soon as you peep your head round the corner to the left at the end of the road there and look down over that 18th green, down the fairway, you can see the first tee, the old course clubhouse there. You can even see all the way down to the Swilcombe Bridge and the 17th, which we've all seen various opens, you know, won and lost on those holes. And just the experience of the town of St Andrews is something that for any golfer, you've got to go to St Andrews in your life because it is absolutely amazing. And it is probably the most magic. It's like Disneyland for golfers, really. It just the feeling you get walking around the town is just, there's almost like a golfing electricity that runs through your body, really, isn't there, when you're there?
It is the best. It is the best experience. You can't, you know, like, it's unrivaled. Like, it's not, I don't think there's, I was going to say, I don't think there's many sports, but I don't think there's any other sports where, you know, you can have the best in the world playing there on Sunday and then you can go and play there on Monday.
Well, no, it's not, you know, it's, to put it into context, it's not as if we're going to go and play cricket at Lord's or like the day after an Ashes test or walk out at Wembley after, you know, the FA Cup final. It's just not going to happen, is it? So golf is a sport where you do get to play where all of your favourite players have played. And not just, you know, we obviously the Open was there for the 150th edition of it last year when Cameron Smith won, but, you know, the likes of Nicklaus, the likes of Trevino, the likes of Bobby Jones, old Tom Morris, young Tom Morris, have all played that golf course, walked on that turf. You're literally walking in the footsteps of legends, you know what I mean? And it's just
special.
Yeah, the whole town is, isn't it? I mean, you walk through, I don't think people realise how lucky they are to sort of live in that area. It's absolutely amazing.
I hope Kieran's listening to this.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, because, you know, I've told him enough times that it's just, I'm sure, and he does appreciate, you know, he is literally a student of golf and a historian at heart, isn't he? And he just loves every fact there is about St Andrews and the town, or the old grey toon, as he calls it. But
there's not many places I'll do a 24-hour round trip for.
No, you're absolutely right. But it is one, isn't it? It's definitely one that should be on your bucket list. It's not either sort of in the same realms financially as some of these. You can get some great packages in St Andrews that include the old course. And it's not going to break the bank. Do you know what I mean? Yes, it's expensive. Don't get me wrong. It's not under £50. But
I would say it's worth every single penny that you play to tee it up on the old course. And I'd recommend, if you can, get a caddy as well, because it,
absolutely,
the experience of that is fantastic. Again, I was lucky enough to take a group of members there. It was old Tom Morris's 200th birthday kind of package that they were doing. And we got to play the new course and the old course over 2 days. We had a meal in the new course clubhouse. I got a caddy on the old course for the day. It was amazing. And we just got some of the best weather that I've ever played in Scotland. And it was just stunning. It will live with me till the day I die, that round of golf. It was just perfect in every way, really. So, yeah, I mean, the old course at St Andrews was obviously going to be the way that we ended this little roundup of Lynx Golf, because it is the original and best, really. So the OG, if you like. But yeah, some of the ones we've spoken about, there's tons of golf courses around the UK and Ireland that you can get across to and play. But yeah, I mean, if you can, get yourself to St Andrews, play the old course. Or even just walk on the turf on a Sunday, just walk around the golf course. You know, you can walk every single hole. But yeah, it's magic. And I'm sure Matt will agree. It's, you know, like you've just said, that 24-hour round trip that you made just to play one round at the old course tells you how special it is.
I would do it all over again tomorrow if I got the chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And so would I. But as it is, I'm playing Ganton Golf Club, which is bloody good as well. So yeah, I mean, that we've run out of time, Matt. We've been waffling on 51 minutes. We're just over. But yeah, hopefully you've enjoyed that little kind of roundup that we've had there of some of our favourite Lynx golf courses, and certainly ones that you should get out there, maybe put your hand in your pocket and pay for as well. So until next week, from me and Matt, goodbye, and we'll see you soon.
Goodbye.